As a minister of over 3 decades, I have observed that bitterness, the lack of forgiveness, has destroyed lives, relationships, marriages, families, friends, church conflicts. One would think that the Savior and the Lord of Christianity, and that is, Christ came to the earth to forgive us, would be enough of a model to have Christians be the most forgiving people on earth. And I might say, I think we are. But I also believe that forgiveness is difficult. To actually forgive someone. Because there are reasons. There are reasons that people hold on to bitterness. I've also observed in the last 3 decades that lack of forgiveness and bitterness hurts the person who holds on to the offense. I've observed something else. I have observed people who would say, you know, I forgave her, but they really didn't because their actions instead looked and were executed in such a way that they did not forgive her or him. I've noticed that what helps is the role of a minister. People can say they forgive, but when there's a forgiveness ceremony that an ordained minister does, it makes a big difference. Does it always work? Quote unquote. No, the human heart is not that simple to do some formula or do some even ceremony. But I have noticed that people who allow a formal process into a forgiving heart, those people that I have observed, the power of the Holy Spirit, what I have observed is that in so many cases, they do actually forgive that person. And I can tell so many stories. Some of the stories that I have seen from Christian Leaders Institute, that when forgiveness of an abusive father or mother or cousin or friend or someone that hurt them very deeply, when that forgiveness occurred, it often at that time, the calling into ministry also occurred. So today, we're going to talk about the officiant's role in bringing forgiveness to people. So, officiating forgiveness acts. Now, one thing is clear is that the role of the minister in forgiveness is in the Bible. John 20, verse 22. With that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What I find interesting about that is what does a leader, a Christian leader, an apostle, a disciple, have anything to do whether there is going to be forgiveness? In some ways, that feels random. But in another way, it speaks to how weak humans are and how much ministers are needed. That we actually could be part of this. And it's so strongly stated that sins won't be forgiven if we won't forgive them. Now, that's hard to understand. What I'm illustrating is the fact that somehow ministers are involved in this very powerful process. There's no doubt about it. The Sermon on the Mount is a place where Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 37 and 38, do not judge or you will be judged. do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In 1983, my wife and I were married, and the minister, Marvin Hybor, picked that passage for our wedding. And when he first picked it, I was sort of like, oh, what does that have to do with marriage? What about a love passage? And again, I trusted him to pick the passage he wanted, and we asked him to do so, but he picked that one. And I would say that that is one of the most important encouragements for a marriage relationship. And I can look back and I can see that forgive and you'll be forgiven. Don't condemn. Don't live in a marriage in a gotcha situation. Give and it will be given to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In some ways, Christianity, founded by the giving of God's only Son and His giving His life, its founding speaks to all of us. So we, as ministers, want to be always encouraging and helping people take that next step in being forgiving people. The very Lord's Prayer says in Luke 11, verse 4, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. I reflect on the fact that faith and forgiveness connect. Mark 11, verse 23 and 25. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. I mean, this is a faith passage. Say to that mountain, fall into the sea and it will. And then parts in this very passages, and Jesus says how a faith of a mustard seed is enough to do amazing things. And we often focus on that faith side, but we never see clearly that if we have bitterness, if we don't forgive our brothers, it is like a faith douser. It just waters the fire of faith out. And I've seen that as a minister, where you see somebody who's just ready to launch, but there's some bitter relationship that they do not deal with. I feel like the church throughout 2,000 years addressed this in different ways. I believe that when the early church had formalized confession, it was about keeping people away from bitterness and learning how to forgive. Today, in a lot of ways, we're missing out on the minister's role in helping people forgive. This role can't be underestimated. God is serious about forgiveness. In Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And then you can read for yourself this whole story about how this servant was unforgiving. And then as the story ends in Matthew 18, 33, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then in verse 35, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is perilous. Forgiveness is core to someone's happiness. And a lot of times that forgiveness is being blocked. And it needs your role to help someone take that next step. And I'll tell you, if you take that role, you will change lives. Colossians 3, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. An officiant not only officiates things like weddings and funerals, but an officiant can officiate a formal forgiveness process. I have done that. And when you do, it will change people's lives. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we forgive our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it all starts that we are forgiven people. Christ modeled it. Luke 23 verse 33, when they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified Him, along with the other criminals, one on His right, the other on His left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So they divided up His clothes and they cast lots. This is so core. So absolutely core. And what you'll see is that people who avoid this issue, they will become the instigators of trouble. Luke 17, verse 1 to 4, Jesus said to His disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and 7 times comes back to you and say, I repent, forgive him. I bring this up now because as an officiant, the teaching is clear. We are ministers who bring the message and the reality of forgiveness to people. But let's talk about me and you and us, the leaders. In some ways, I feel like these passages are coming to us one after another. But I believe, and I have seen, that some of the ministers over the years, too, can struggle with the lack of forgiveness. Some of you have seen this, like churches, that like the devil gets in there and creates division and conflict and bitterness occurs. And then instead of this love and ability to forgive, instead bitterness occurs in churches. Have you been to churches where you've seen this bitterness and the bitterness is just core, tearing the church and tearing the ministers, just cutting people in half? I want to talk now about restorative justice. Sin happens and hurt occurs. And there have been people who have done their time. I also believe, as believers, forgiveness is a community act. If someone has hurt others and had to serve time or prison for it. We as ministers want to welcome people back if they have had a repented heart and they've come back into the community. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 6. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love for him. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Are we a community that knows how to forgive? In general, will it be said about us that, hey, whenever I hang around Christians, they are forgiving? Now, some people go, well, what happens if people take advantage of you? That's a boundary issue. If someone is taking advantage of you and then throws, well, you're called to forgive me, you better do that, with a attitude of manipulation, that's not what Jesus was talking about, as we read a little bit earlier, that if somebody comes again and again and asks for forgiveness, yes, that's our attitude. But if somebody is using it as a tool to cause trouble, we do forgive them, but we just don't allow them to trample over the boundary. So I understand I'm talking that if a criminal who then goes to jail, who serves his or her time, and come to the Lord and come back, and we welcome it and forgive them. But then when they get back, they return to their evil ways and steal and hurt. Well, by all means, we call the police and they go back to jail. But our attitude is not to, he who lives in glass houses, my dad used to say, should not throw stones. Our attitude is 2 Corinthians 2:10. If you forgive anyone, I will also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. It's really about removing bitterness. Bitterness from our very communities. So as an officiant, we are those who find ways to pray. Pray, you know, in a lot of ways, when an officiant gets involved in something, a minister gets involved with something, he brings ceremony everywhere. A prayer is a ceremony. When we notice ministry is needed, we want people to lose the bitter roots. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The fact is, the Bible is clear about bitterness, envy. James 3, 13 to 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, is of the devil. For where you find envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. I think it's clear that bitterness is a gateway to sin captivity. In the story of Simon the sorcerer, when he's confronted, the apostles say, in Acts 8, verse 22, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you and for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Let's reflect on your family, my family, on somebody you know, somebody, maybe work relationships. Let's reflect on our own lives. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Where the captivity of sin, the bitterness, the envy, is something that can come so close to, for all of us. And it really is, you know, I believe in one of the most amazing thing about being a minister is that we're studying the Word. And at the very Word we're studying, it affects us. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Do you know someone whose life is being hijacked and bankrupt because they have bitterness and they are not bringing forgiveness? I believe this is one of the most amazing things about being a minister and officiant. We can actually help people get to that spot, help unburden souls. We get to be part of what it says in Ephesians 4:30-32, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So, what's your role? What's my role? What can we do? Well, we can ask people who are coming to us and they're talking about how someone hurt them. And listen, be very careful to listen. Then not condemn. And what I've done that I found is very effective is I say, you know, as a minister, an ordained minister, would you like me to officiate a forgiveness ceremony for you? And they say, what? I've never heard of that. Well, it's simple. First of all, I'll share with you some Bible passages about forgiveness. And you probably know them, and they might even make you feel guilty. But you know what? Just don't worry about that. Let the Holy Spirit totally have the Holy Spirit's way with you. So then what I've done is I've shared the passages. When they said yes, I'm interested. Now, this is very important. If they're not interested, I promise you, you know, they're not interested. And they might say, well, just pray for me. Well, pray, okay. But some people say, it's killing me. The joy of my life is snatched away. Will you help me? So, some of those passages that I just read to you, you can read to that person. And then after you read them, say, well, there, we do have a forgiveness ceremony that I can lead. It's just a personal one-on-one, and this is totally confidential. I'm going to say, confidential? Yes, totally confidential. Well, what's it like? Well, what I'm going to do is lead you in a prayer, and very specifically, the things that you are harboring against somebody else, we are going to bring to the cross of Jesus Christ in a formal way with an ordained officiant. It's a little service personalized for you. We've opened the Word of God. We will open the Word of God. And at the end of this, we will give our burdens. We'll unburden ourselves. Well, a lot of times I get this objection or this comment. Well, we're just going to let someone off the hook. They need justice. And then you can share. Well, it is God's to avenge. It's not us. And then we might even point out a few things from our observation or our reading. You know, I'll point out that, you know what, I've just seen it, that bitterness hurts you way more than it will hurt the person that you're bitter against. It's like a slow poison, and you die from that poison. And sometimes you'll see people go like, you know, I'm dying. So I'll then say, as a minister, I like to do a special prayer with you after we read some passages and we pray. And then have a simple prayer. It doesn't even have to be this long and drawn out prayer. It's just, you know, and I'm going to talk about some of these formalized prayers in another session, but I'll finish this idea and then we'll come back to it as well. So what I have done and seen the Holy Spirit bless, I'll say, so I'll sort of enact this right now. So let's pray. And so what I'll do is I will pray for you right now. Maybe you have a bitterness. So we'll pretend if you have no bitterness, just pretend you do. And you're the person that I'm praying with. So I'll call you Jane. So Jane, would you like to take this bitterness and this hurt and bring this to the Lord and forgive Susan? Yes, Pastor. Yes, Minister, Jane says. Okay. Then, you know, there are some passages that just get our heart ready that we know it is best for us to do it. And then I would read some of those passages. Then after that, I'll say, well, let's pray. It'll be something like this. And again, you can have your own style. Lord, Jane here is bringing before you a desire to forgive someone, and she's had a really hard time doing it, and this is what she wants. So Jane is going to repeat this prayer after me with a willing spirit. Jane, repeat this after me. Dear God, dear God, I come to you because I am seeking to forgive Susan. I come to you because I'm seeking to forgive Susan. She has gossiped about me. She has gone out of her way to make my life miserable. She's gossiped about me. She's gone out of her way to make my life miserable. And Lord, all I can simply do is obey you and forgive her. I can let go. All I can do is simply obey you and forgive her. Please help me. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. Please help me. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. I submit to you. I submit to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it was fascinating. I went into like a remembrance of real-time remembrance. In a next session, it's a lot shorter, the simple prayer. But that's how many times that as a minister, I officiated something like that. And there's all varieties. If someone is in a relationship and they come and there was, I've had this too, where there's been the offense, the person asked for forgiveness, and the person you're ministering to did not want to forgive you, even though the person asked for forgiveness. And, you know, there you hear in the Bible, if your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, forgive them. You know, there's a lot of different ways this works out. What I'm trying to make the point to today is have a formal process that then just makes it, it takes it out of the page. And as an ordained minister or licensed minister, just the very act of doing this creates a new playing field for the possibility of someone forgiving someone else. So as an officiant, again, you're just not doing weddings, but you know, that's something you can do as an officiant. But an officiant is also making official an act. And here is the very act of forgiveness. So I would love to have you email me, some of you who have actually boldly tried this, and report what has happened. Now, sometimes it takes a little while and so forth, but as an officiant, go for it. Now, one little warning here. after you have that formal time, let it rest. Don't go next week. So have you forgiven Susan? Bad idea. Just let it go. And, I mean, you may want to, at the end of that prayer, say, do you mind if I check back with you in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months, or whatever? But I would say ask for permission before you, in an unsolicited way, just call, you know, Jane up. Jane, how's it going? Did you forgive Susan? And when you do call up in the future, what I've learned is it's more like, hey, Jane, just checking with you. Anything to pray for today? And if Jane wants to talk about, you know, I need your prayers for this forgiveness thing, Jane will say it. Do not call up, hey, Jane, I'm here to pray for this forgiveness thing. I hope it's going well for you. Mm-mm. That solemn encounter, that ministerial ceremony there, was something between God and her, and you are the Lord's servant to bring this about. So those are just a few of the things that we have learned. You know, not just have I learned this, but ministers have learned this for generations and generations. But as an officiant, you get to be part of an amazing forgiveness process. Praise the Lord.